Well, let's turn to today, Proverbs 29, and we're going to be looking at verses 10 through 18 today, verses 10 through 18 in Proverbs chapter 29. And so we read verse 10 of Proverbs 29, and it says, "The bloodthirsty hate the upright, but the just or the righteous seek his soul," actually seek the soul of the bloodthirsty. I like the way the Living Bible puts it. The godly pray for those who long to kill them. The godly pray for those who long to kill them. Matthew 5:44 in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said, "Pray for them who despitefully use you and persecute you." That's the stance of the Lord Jesus. He said, "Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing," from the cross. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. We remember the Apostle Paul, who was a murderer of the righteous, who held the clothes of the people that stoned Stephen, the first martyr of the church, to death, and how God marvelously and wonderfully saved him as an example to us of God's grace. And he became one of the greatest apostles, writing most of the New Testament books. The Apostle Paul wrote them. And so the grace of God, and God is interested in us praying and seeking the salvation, seeking the soul, as it says here in the King James translation of verse 10. The wise men actually seek the soul of those that are desiring to kill them. Now, sorry to say, some of your modern translations don't include that part of the verse. And it's very, very sad. And to be honest with you, as a pastor, I get angry sometimes at some of the modern translations that simply leave things out. They do that. So be careful about that. Study the Bible in a lot of translations, and especially use the King James or the New King James, and get all that it has to say. This part is so very important. It's the whole heart and the soul of the message that God's put on my heart this week for you. Actually, beginning on Monday with Pastor Chuck, and Tuesday with Pastor Greg. And just getting the heart for the lost. We need to seek their souls. And this clause needs to be in the Bible where it belongs. Now, if you read the ESV, which is also a modern translation, there is a footnote that includes this part of the verse. But for some reason, some of the translations have decided to just leave it out. And so I grieve over that, because they took away my sermon. Mark, you can't preach on this today because we didn't decide to put it in. Oh man, that makes me mad. So I need to pray for the modern translation people and keep my head on straight because of the next verse. "A fool utters all his mind, but a wise man keeps it until afterwards." So I need to watch out what I say, because we do love modern translations to fit in and to use as tools. But in this case, you need to write this in at verse 10 if it's not in your Bible. That acts, and I'll quote it again, "The just," the upright, not the wicked, that's not the right translation, "the just seek the soul of the bloodthirsty." And that's what we're to be about. Let's turn to 1 Timothy in the New Testament. 1 Timothy 2, 1 through 4. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verses 1 through 4. Now, this is the Apostle Paul writing to his own dear son in the faith, Timothy, who is the pastor at church at Ephesus. He says, "I exhort, therefore, that first of all," the first thing you should think about Timothy as a pastor, is that supplications, that's humble, earnest request, prayers, intercessions, and the giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved. We're to pray for all men. We are to pray for all of them. Because you see, Jesus didn't just die for the sins of the saints, but we're told in 1 John chapter 2 that he died for the sins of the whole world. And it is his heart for evangelism to happen, for the gospel to go forth to all the nations, every tribe, every kindred, every tongue, and that we should be seeking the souls of even the bloodthirsty, as God did with the Apostle Paul, who wrote these words. For this is good and acceptable, verse 3, in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, not Mohammed, not the Buddha, not Confucius. Confucius is not the good man. It's Jesus. One God, one mediator. One mediator between God and man. The man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all. No one died for me, especially Muhammad. He wanted to kill me. But Jesus Christ, he's the only one that gave his life for me and for you and for the sins of the whole world. Muhammad taught death to the infidel, and he called Jews and Christians infidels. And that's why the planes crashed in to the buildings on 2001. It's because of words from Muhammad like that. And that's not the Lord. That's not a religion from God. It is a religion of death and fear. And if you're a lady, and you're a Muslim lady, you better watch your P's and Q's, because your own husband or your own brother will kill you if you become a Christian. This is not the Lord. Anybody in the right mind knows that to be true. This can't be God. God is love. And that is a God of hate, a God of vengeance, a God of get you if you don't do it my way. So there it is. That's the truth of it. So we see this and we want to seek the soul of the bloodthirsty. Begin to pray for Muslims to get saved. And we love Pastor George because that's what he's about. He lives for that. And we want to live with him through prayers and understanding to bring those Muslim folks to a loving God that will release them, give them peace and healing and truth. And so there it is. So again, the idea of the just seeking the soul of the bloodthirsty. And we want to see people saved. Now we know, as Pastor Sewell has shared with us, that Jesus is coming very, very soon. I had a brother share with me this week that Korea has started to brag that they have missiles that can reach the western cities, the western coast of America. And of course, Iran brags that they have missiles that can reach the eastern coast of America. And we begin to understand and realize that when Jesus said in Matthew 24 that if he doesn't come back soon, everyone will be dead on the earth. But that's a reality. In World War I, they used bombs. In World War II, they used bigger bombs. And when the next war comes, there's going to be a bunch of lunatics with their fingers on red buttons that will send bombs that can destroy the earth. And so, you know what? I don't even think the cockroaches would make it through a huge nuclear exchange between all the nations of the world. The radiation would do us in. And the thing is that Jesus promised he would come back before that happens. Yes, he did. In Matthew 24, unless he returns and does a short work, all the earth, all the people would be dead, everybody, because we're not any good, you guys. I don't know if you know that yet, but you are no good, no good, baby. You're no good. Our sin nature, it just will not allow this planet to exist. Can't we just get along? No, we can't. We can't even do it in our homes, for goodness sakes. How in the world are we going to do it worldwide? Jesus has got to come and take care of it. Make it better. As they used to say when the boys were little, all better, all better. Jesus is going to make it all better. He's got a giant Band-Aid somewhere, and he's going to put it on this old planet and praise the Lord for that and make it brand new. The new heaven and the new earth wherein dwells righteousness. Praise the name of the Lord. Well, seeking the soul of the bloodthirsty. Now, we'd like to say and give invitation then. On Monday, Pastor Chuck invited all the pastors to come to Costa Mesa for a prayer meeting. And it was wonderful. I love Pastor Chuck's prayer meetings. He gets up to the podium and he says, "We're here to pray. Let's pray." No big long soliloquies or whatever. Just pray. And we prayed. And it was beautiful. And Pastor Chuck's got a passion for the lost. He's 86 years old and he's gone through a terrible bout with cancer. And yet, you know, what he thinks about at night and all day is how he can save a few more people before Jesus comes. And so on the 16th of June, we have posters on both doors and flyers out here. Pastor Chuck's invited Franklin Graham, Billy Graham's son, to come to the Pacific Amphitheater at 6 o'clock in the evening. It's a Sunday night. It's a one-night event. And they're going to have Tommy Coons and the guy that used to be in Love Song, and his band lead the worship. And Pastor Chuck's going to introduce Franklin, and Franklin's going to preach it and have an altar call. And you know, it's so neat. Pastor Chuck was mentioning this, that every time Franklin Graham is on TV, he always gets the gospel in. Just notice that sometime. They'll ask him about how the bread is in China, and he'll say, "You know, Jesus died for your sins. And he rose again from the dead. And if you will believe on him, he will save you." I love it. I love it about our brother. And he's going to come and preach. Then we had a meeting on Tuesday. See, I'm all pumped up with evangelism right now, and I'm blessed with it. But on Tuesday, Pastor Greg Laurie had a meeting at the stadium and had all the pastors come to the stadium. And so then he told us about the coming Harvest Crusade. And what a blessing. It's going to be August 23rd through the 25th, three nights of the Harvest Crusade this year in Angel Stadium. And you know, I got a sticker. I did. And I've been trying to be the first one in Orange County every year to get the sticker on my car. So if you want to beat me this year, you're too late. I put it on last night. I wasn't going to tell you there's a race until after I won. So there you are. Glory to God. So brothers and sisters, we won souls this summer, don't we? Souls this summer. Yeah. Before the Lord comes. It's too late for people. Now there's a third event, and we're going to be involved in this up to our ears. The third event is September 28th. And Pastor Greg does this thing called live streaming. And he's going to Philadelphia. Actually, the city that was really our first capital before Washington. In Philadelphia, the Continental Congress met in Philadelphia. And that's where the first fire department was because of Franklin. I'm sorry, why am I forgetting his name? Benjamin Franklin. His first name is not Franklin. His last name, Benjamin Franklin. First fire department. This guy was a genius, this Benjamin Franklin man. But anyway, that's where it all started. And so Greg's going to preach from Philadelphia and live stream it. Now, what's live streaming? He started it last year at this crusade in our stadium on Sunday night, where he live streamed to 2,400 different venues throughout the nation, and had three times as many people get saved because the thing is live streamed on the internet. And what churches do, as churches will have the event and have some live action going on, and then stream in on the video things. And we got to get this one fixed. I'm so sorry about that. It broke down last night, but we will. We'll have both. And so then Greg gives the altar call, and the people come forward at the given venue and to be saved. And we have counselors ready, live counselors, to counsel the people like they do in the stadium. And so we want to do that. when Greg preaches from Philadelphia this year. And it'll be at 4 o'clock on Saturday afternoon, the 28th of September, because they're 3 hours ahead of us and the crusade starts at 7. And this is such a blessing because I am such a believer in this live streaming thing because of what happened to Sherry and I. We went to Massachusetts to visit Cape Cod, which is on the other side of the country. And we visited the island off of Cape Cod called Martha's Vineyard. And we found out that the movie Jaws was filmed there. And I got all excited about that. And so we went to the beach where Jaws was filmed. And I started talking to all the people on the beach. And Sherry calls this don't make a scene time. She's always telling me, don't make a scene. Don't make a scene. But anyway, I had all the scenes of this movie in my mind, and I wanted to hear about it, so I asked the people on the beach, do you know that Jaws was filmed here? And we got into a conversation and found out that this guy was a Christian. And he said, do you know Greg Laurie? And I said, well, yeah, I do know him. I'm the pastor of Calvary Chapel, Anaheim. You're the pastor of Calvary Chapel, Anaheim? Have you actually talked to Greg Laurie? Well, yes, we've had a few words, you know. And so he started going, you know what happened to us this year? He said, we heard about this thing of live streaming, of having Pastor Greg could actually come through the internet and we could have our own little crusade. Our living room was too small, turned out to be too small, so we did it in our garage. And he actually had people come to his garage and they live streamed the crusade here from Anaheim. And when it was time to come forward, inviting people to come forward in the garage and to be saved by the power of God. And man, I got so pumped over that. And so yesterday, I actually talked to Greg Laurie. I went up to him and said, on Tuesday, I said, Pastor Greg, guess what happened? Let me tell you a live streaming story. And he said, wow. Just another venue. He's got the venues in his mind, you know. He's just setting it up. So this year, our church is going to be a venue of this live streaming from Philadelphia. And I'm so excited about this for us as a church. And just to get involved with this, you can be counselors. We talked to Pastor Steve Jewell. Pastor Steve Jewell is going to get a team of people that are ready to talk to the lost and give Bibles like they do at the Crusades. And then another thing happened. And I don't want to go too long with this, but it's so fun. Anyway, I went to Colorado to visit my son James, right? A lot of you know James. What a great guy. James was provoked to jealousy through watching a guy witness in the mall just before he left California over here at the city mall. And this brother has this gift of evangelism. He was going from table to table in the food court. And just dragging people to Jesus and just witnessing his brains out. And he's got the gift of the gab, you know. And it's just, James was just moved by how the success this man was having and the just blessed of the Lord. So anyway, James is telling me about this guy when I'm visiting him. But I'm thinking, wait a minute, I think I know this guy. And it's true, we do know him. His kids come to preschool here. And when the elders gave him a break, because he's a pastor, you know, and stuff, to bring his kids to preschool here, he says to me, if there's anything you ever want me to do for the church, I'm available. And then I ran into him at the parking lot. And I said, brother, remember that offer you made? He said, yes, I do. I said, we want to have an event, and we want the people of our neighborhood to be here for it. So we want you to do your thing. And he said, I'll be glad to do that. And he started reasoning right away. He talks really fast. You know, this is how he does it. Hey, yeah. But he just said, you know, we're going to get together five teams, and we're going to go out in the neighborhoods, and we're going to gather everybody up here, and bring them on here. We're going to get them saved. So I thought, this is the right guy. I'm talking to the right man. And he's still got all of his dark hair. So he's young, and he's got a lot of energy. So praise the Lord. So we're going to do this thing, you guys. We're going to do this thing. And if you want to be on the team to go and witness and invite people in here to accept Jesus, let's do it. Let's do it. We want to pray. We want to pray even now for these three events and for the event May 4th at Pearson Park. Same heart, same vision. We want to get people to Jesus, don't we? Yeah, before the Lord comes back and it's too late. Let's pray. So, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord, we thank you for Franklin coming June 16th. We thank you for Greg and all the bands that will be coming for August 23rd through 25th. And, Lord, we thank you for this opportunity to live stream and for our church to actually be a part of the crusade here right in our own church. And so, Lord, we thank you for that, Lord. It's just exciting. We want to be a part of this. Lord, we want to be on the team. And, Lord, many of us don't have the gift of evangelism, but you tell us all to do the work of an evangelist, to keep trying, to keep going next door, to keep helping people in the market, and, Lord, people at the beach, and all around, talking about you as you lead us, Lord. We are your vessels. You've said to us, go into all the earth and preach the gospel. And so, Lord, we know that's the only hope for this world. Lord, we do want to pray for Syria before Syria is wiped off the face of the earth. It seems like it's going there quick with all this annihilation that's going on, Lord, in Syria. Save people over there, Lord, in Jesus' name. Bring them to yourself, Lord, before it's too late. And in Iran and in North Korea. Do in North Korea what you've done in South Korea, Lord, with Pastor Chow and the million people that showed up to the Billy Graham Crusade in South Korea a few years back. Lord, in Jesus' name, Lord, bring that great revival that Pastor Saul is. I'm calling him pastor, but he keeps telling me he's not a pastor, but it's hard for me not to call him a pastor because he's doing pastor work. Anyway, so, Lord, we just thank you for him. And, Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, that you would do a great and mighty and deep work throughout our city, our state, Lord. Please, Lord, let California be a leader in righteousness, as bad as it's been a leader in unrighteousness for so many years. Turn this golden state around and do a golden work of the Spirit. Gold tried in the fire. Oh, Lord, coming out beautiful, the mighty work of God. And so, Lord, we do pray for what's happening with the Supreme Court in June. And we pray, Lord, in Jesus' name that Prop 8 would be up. Held. And Lord, by the power of your Spirit, then California would be a leader in righteousness and other states will follow. Father, please, please help us with this. Cause this to be coming out good. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Okay, let's keep praying on all these things, right? This is good. All right, let's go back to Proverbs now. Proverbs 29. And I do still have 15 minutes, so don't get antsy on me. Proverbs 29. Proverbs 29, and let's take a look at verse 11. We just read this one, actually. A fool utters all his mind. You know, that's the truth, isn't it? A fool will give you, what's it called, too much information? Is there a letters for that? Yeah, what is that again? TMI. Anybody ever say to TMI, you know, I love you, but TMI, too much information. Don't want to hear about that. Thank you. Well, a fool does that all the time. A fool utters all his mind. I think I'll write in my Bible there, TMI. But a wise man keeps it till afterwards. We choose our words. You think carefully about what you're going to say. Now, verse 12 says this, if a ruler hearkens to lies, all his servants are wicked. If you are a leader of some kind, even in a household, and you lie, and your kids know it, they're going to lie too. It's so important to be an example to the flock. Be an example to the flock of God. You want to be in authority, in whatever authority God has given you, with the heart of the Lord. If a ruler hearkens to lies, all his servants are wicked. Now the poor and the deceitful, verse 13, meet together. The Lord lightens both their eyes. Now, did you know, we're told in the Gospel of John chapter 1, that actually Jesus lights the soul of every man, not just the believers, but the unbelievers. Well, how is that so? Well, it's this way. To us, Jesus Christ, the light of the world, is busy working in our hearts and changing us, and we're so thankful. We walk in the light as he is in the light. And then we have fellowship one with another. This is from 1 John 1. And the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us, gives us a continual cleansing through the blood of Jesus Christ. We have that catharso, that continual cleansing. Now, for the non-believer, he also has light of Jesus in his life. And what is that? Conviction of the Holy Spirit. For the Holy Spirit is sent forth to convict the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment to come. The Lord is wooing, by the power of His Spirit, every single person on the planet to come to Him. Come to me. Come to me. And so that light of Christ, that understanding that that person needs a Savior, will be made known to them through the light of Christ. For no one comes to the Father, Jesus said, except through me. And so the light, and so the poor and the deceitful man meet together. The Lord lightens both of their eyes, drawing the non-believer and edifying and building up the believer, trying to get that non-believer to be a believer and join the group that is built up and edified and changed by the power of God. Now in verse 14, it says, the king that faithfully judges the poor, his throne shall be established forever. By the way, we're only going to verse 18, so don't get nervous. We're just going to verse 18. But verse 14 says, the king that faithfully judges the poor, his throne shall be established forever. Has anyone ever done that? No, especially Adolf Hitler. He said he was going to have his Nazis rule for 1,000 years. Baloney, baloney, salami. He didn't, I don't even know if he made it for what? Was it 5 years or something? He didn't ever rule the whole earth. But nobody has ever done this. Here in America, we understand that. So our guys are only elected for 4 years. And some of them make it to 8 years, but that's it. But you see, the king that faithfully brings justice to the poor, that throne will be established forever. And of course, we know who that is. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And I want to go to scriptures in the New Testament to really see the power of this, because it is actually the beginning and the definition of the ministry of Jesus Christ here upon the earth. So let's go to Luke chapter 4 and verse 14. Luke chapter 4 and verse 14. There's this cutest little bug that's going up and down on my pulpit. It's just, he won't leave. He was there last service too. It's amazing. I don't think he's... No, it's not a termite. It's God. God is just so beautifully designing things, doesn't he? It's amazing. Well, let's look at Luke 4. 4:14, maybe it's just a distraction. So, here we go. Now, Jesus had just finished going through his tests, which he got an A+ on every single test that he was tested with through the devil. He was led into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And he passed every one of those tests. He got an A+, A+, A+. Imagine seeing a report card like that. A+, A+, A+. And so he passed those tests, and now it's time for his ministry. And it says in verse 14 of Luke 4, and Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit unto Galilee, and there went out a fame of him through all the region round about. And he taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all. And he came to Nazareth, this is his hometown, where he had been brought up. And as was his custom, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. In the synagogues in those days, if you want to read scripture and you were a man of the age of accountability and you were in the synagogue and you want to read scripture, you were allowed to do that. And Jesus went with this custom of going to different synagogues and being a reader to read scripture. And so he went into his own hometown synagogue, and as his custom was, he went there on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book or the scroll of the prophet Isaiah. And he began to read. He opened the book. He found the place where it was written. And he began to read Isaiah 61:1. And this is a prophetic word about the Messiah, whom, of course, we know that Jesus was and is. So he started reading about himself. And he reads these scriptures. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. The gospel means good news. And so Jesus came to bring justice for the poor. And this is right here in this very idea and bringing forth of the Word of God, qualifying him for Proverbs 29:14. The king that will bring justice for the poor, his throne will be established forever. And so he reads the scripture. The Spirit of the Lord has anointed me to preach the good news to the poor. Now, this just isn't the poor that doesn't have any money. They don't have money. This is the poor in spirit. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. They shall see God. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are those that hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. As we are poverty-stricken in our spirit and recognize that we need the help of a Savior, we need the help of Jesus, and we cry out to Him, you see, that is justice for the poor. That is justice for the poor in spirit. He is our champion. He's our champion for us that need help. And, you know, as we confess the Lord, we understand that we need help. And so He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. Anybody here ever had a broken heart? Anybody? Yeah, a few of you. You're more honest than first service. Only had two people raise their hands. After I said that, they raised their hands. But it's so true, isn't it? And I knew there's a lot of you that have had broken hearts. Because it's part of the human experience, isn't it? Our hearts break sometimes. They just break. But you see, Jesus is sent to heal the brokenhearted. We had a girl in our church years ago. Sherry and I, hearts were broken over her because she was brutally molested and mistreated by her own father. And that happens in our societies. Maybe some of you have experienced that yourself. But you know what? She sat back there just in that area of the church right there. And in talking to her after services and counseling with her, Sherry and I, and We were brokenhearted for her because she just couldn't get by that. And we'd preach on the love of God, and she'd say, you know, I hear your message of love and your message of healing, but I just, there was just that bitterness against her father. And it was just killing her. It's just so sad. So sad. And there might be some of you that feel like this dear girl. And our hearts go out to her, and our hearts go out to you. But you know what? Take this in this morning. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. And if anybody can do it, it's Jesus. Because He's all-powerful. He's able to touch your heart, to take away the pain, to bring good and wonderful things into your life. That will even bring you to a place, and it might take some time, to forgive that dad or that uncle or that person. He's come to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, those that are captive to sin, those that are weighed down with the burden of, I can't stop this sin in my life. He's come to give you deliverance. Deliverance by the mighty power of His Spirit to transform you, to lift you, to take away the guilt and the shame, and deliver you from the bad habits that want to just kill you. That's our Jesus. He deserves to have His throne established forever. He's the one I want ruling in the universe forever and ever. And He's the one that deserves it, according to Proverbs 29:14. The king that brings justice to the poor, His throne will be established forever. The recovering of sight to the blind. Jesus healed the blind physically, and also He's given us spiritual sight. He's taken the blind eyes of our spirit and birthed in us that togetherness with Him that causes us to really see in a spiritual way, to set at liberty them that are bruised. There's a lot of bruises, a lot of pain, especially through the brokenheartedness or the being captive. And Jesus has come to set at liberty those that are bruised. And so if you're bruised today, take your bruises to Jesus. He's got really wonderful band-aids that not only just protect the bruise and protect you, but heal the bruise underneath and set you at liberty. Bring a freedom to your life, a new bounce in your step. Just the beauty of what He can do and does do. To preach the acceptable year of the Lord. He was sent in just the right year. It was predicted in Daniel chapter 9, the exact year that He would come and present Himself as the King on a donkey. It was predicted to the very day, 173,880 days after Artaxerxes, the king of the Medes and the Persians, gave the instruction to rebuild the temple. Jesus Christ fulfilled that prophecy from Daniel 9 and walked into Jerusalem as far as He did, and then got on a donkey, and the donkey walked Him down. And they said, Hosanna, Hosanna. He came to preach the acceptable year of the Lord, the right year and the right time. And as we accept Him, the year is for us. Praise God. And He closed the book, and He gave it again to the minister, and He sat down, and the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on Him. And He began to say unto them, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. In other words, you want the Messiah. You want the Christ. You're looking at Him, is what He was saying. This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. And they all bear witness, and they wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of His mouth. And they said, isn't this Joseph's son? And they began to kind of get a little offended because they grew up in their town. Prophet has no honor in his own town. But guess what? And you know this. Jesus Christ has honor here today, doesn't He? We are honoring Him. We praise Him. He is majesty and He is magnificent. And we recognize that together. Amen? Amen. Praise God for that truth. Let's go back to Proverbs 29. I want to give you one more thought today. Actually, on the way to that thought, we need to take the exhortation to discipline our children. Verse 15, the rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself brings his mother to shame. I've seen that. I've seen boys and girls bring their moms to shame in public places because there's no discipline in the family. But you see, the rod or the spanker, the rod, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. The rod was used for the sheep to bop them on the heads when they were out of line, and the staff then to lead them. Both are good, but don't leave anything out. Don't settle for timeouts with a rowdy kid. Put the paddle to his buns. I'll make it clear. The rod and the reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself, oh, he'll work out just fine later. Bring his mother to shame. There is sin nature that needs to be dealt with in every child. And we need to do the discipline. When I was a senior in high school, I ditched sixth period for a very important mission to visit Sherry. And they found me out. And in those days, it was cool to have paddles in the school. And a great big old giant vice principal, maybe about 6'3", said to me, assume the position. And so I had to bend over and whop. And you know what? Even though I was a big time senior and thought I owned the world, I never visited Sherry on sixth period again. It worked. you apply the Board of Education to the seat of understanding, and something changes in the kid. I want to encourage you to obey the Bible. Don't go with the political correct thing. Don't do it. A child left to himself will bring his mother to shame. When I was a freshman in college, my psychology class, I still have 4 minutes and I'm going to try, told us that you really shouldn't force kids to a particular dinner time or ask them to eat things they don't like. Because you see, they have in themselves the desire to eat what they need, and they'll tell you. Bologna, bologna, salami. What do they want? I asked my kids one time, it's a true story. Mom's sick, I'm doing dinner. What do you want? Strawberry milkshakes. So that's what we had. I'm a simple dad. But I don't think I'll ever do that again. We all have sugar problems. Anyway, they need their vegetables. You got to have them eat some broccoli. And maybe Brussels sprouts. Well, don't force that on them. But things like that, right? So we don't want to leave the child to himself. When the wicked are multiplied, verse 16, transgression increases, but the righteous shall see their fall. One day, we're going to see the fall of this world system. And heaven will rejoice that God is in charge completely and beautifully with this world system. Correct your son and he shall give you rest. Yes, he shall give delight to your soul. Remember that correction. Remember that discipline. And then the last verse we're going to look at today, where there's no vision or revelation, the people perish, but he that keeps the law, happy is he. The law is the word of God, the perfect law of liberty. We want to look into that. We want to stay in God's word, and God will give you vision for your life. He will give you revelation. In 1 Samuel 3:1, it says the word of the Lord was rare in those days. There was no open vision. Why? And we're told in Judges 21:25 the reason. In those days, there was no king in Israel. Every man did what was right in his own eyes. But as we look into the word like Samuel did in those days, then vision came. God brought vision. In 1979, when I went to my first pastor's conference after this church was formed, November 3rd, 1978, God gave me a vision for our church. It was a hand with a wedding band on it, against a black backdrop. And the Lord said, Calvary Chapel Anaheim will be a helping hand to get the bride ready to meet the groom with the wedding band on the hand. And it's against a wicked and perverse generation, the black backdrop. And that's what God is doing in our church today. He wants people saved, filled with the Holy Ghost. He wants our lamps filled with the Holy Spirit of God as precious virgins when He comes back to get us. And He's busy preparing our church and other churches all around to meet the groom. And we give glory to God for that wonderful truth. Let's go ahead and pray together. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, that you bring vision and understanding to those that would seek your face and to be in your word. And Lord, thank you that we had the opportunity to do that today. And Father, in Jesus' name, we pray for anyone that might be here today that hasn't taken that step to accept you as Savior, that that would happen right now. And you know, from time to time, and our congregation here is very familiar with this, they know how to do this, we repeat the sinner's prayer, and it's simply a prayer that has scripture in it, that if you pray it with us, you will be opening your heart to Jesus Christ to be your Savior. Jesus said, if anyone comes to me, there's no way, no way, no way that I will cast him out. If you come to Jesus right now, Jesus will accept you. You will be accepted in the beloved, because he is the Savior that loves the poor. He loves the brokenhearted. He loves those that are bruised, that he might heal and set free and do what he came to do. And so I'm going to ask now the congregation to repeat the sinner's prayer. And if you repeat this with us and mean it in your heart, you're talking to God, you will be opening your heart to Jesus Christ to be your Savior. Dear Lord Jesus, I am a sinner and I need your help. I believe that you're the Savior. I believe that you are the Lord. And I believe that you rose from the dead. So, Lord, please come and save me. You have said in your word, if I will confess you as Lord and believe in my heart that God raised you from the dead, that I would be saved. So thank you now, Lord, for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You said that prayer a minute. You know what? God was listening. He's always listening. He's not deaf that he cannot hear. And he will respond to your prayer. Look for a new life in him. Begin to walk with him every day. Learn of him. Praise the name of the Lord. If you accepted Christ today for the first time, be sure to tell somebody. Tell the guy next to you. You know what? Jesus said, if you confess me before men, I will confess you before my Father in heaven. And all of his holy angels, you know the holy angels are rooting for you? They throw a party. Every time one sinner comes to repentance, all the angels of heaven rejoice. And that's you. Tell somebody. If you don't have a Bible, the door is open to where the Bibles are. I see them stacked up right there. And they're free. Absolutely 100% free for you. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And so our Bibles are free. May the Lord bless you, give you a great day in him. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Praise the Lord. Glory to God.